Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Telemann is a South African award-winning singer, songwriter, and producer. Telemann's first industry breakthrough came in October 2014 after he caught the attention of Soul Candy Records executives and was selected to feature on Soul Candy Sessions 15. This catapulted him to national prominence as he collaborated with acts like Mo Flava, Lulo Cafe, Kuba, and Hariel Selko. In 2016, Telemann made his solo debut with the release of Mind vs. Heart. More collaborations followed with DJ Speedster, Nasty C, Questa, and many others. He released his album in 2019, namely God Decides, which resulted in a number of award nominations and chart success. DJ Killer Mo is a South African DJ, MC, producer, entertainment strategist, and events promoter. After years of successful and record-smashing events with SWAT Entertainment, Killer Mo bid them farewell to start his own company, Mana Creative, which ran concurrently with his growing brand as a DJ. The combination of his skills in events, emceeing, and behind the decks saw him getting cosigns from some of the biggest brands and prominent figures in the industry. It seems like DJ Killer Mo's career has been on an upward trajectory since 2015. His cosign would subsequently lead to a three-year-long residency at Taboo Group South Africa, which saw him get the opportunity to DJ for Nigerian global star Wizkid, which allowed him to then collaborate with Banky W, Tiwa Savage, and YCEE. In 2016, he began to produce music and work with other artists. In 2018, he joined Telemann as his DJ and road manager. This experience helped him transition into artist management, touring, A&R, publishing, and merchandising. In 2020, he was appointed COO of Select Play Music. As an event promoter, he has worked at such festivals like Friends of Amstel, H2O, Electric Circus, and many more. Up next, live in studio at Solid Gold Podcast in Randburg, South Africa, we've got Telemann and Killer Mo.
Celeb Savant, Barrett Edelstein, and I've got live in the studio with me today, Telemann and Killer Mo. How are you guys doing?
We're good. How are you?
Doing great, man.
Good, thank you. So tell us, Telemann, where does your name come from?
My friend gave it to me, actually. My first name is Telumusa, so my friends used to call me Tela, and then it went from Tela to T-Man to Telemann. I guess Telemann kind of stuck, so I decided to run with it, you know? Why change it?
Exactly. And you, sir?
Similar story. My first name is Motobi. Everyone calls me Mo. And I DJed at one of our Valentine's balls in primary school, and one of my friends was like, Mo, you killed it. And I was like, oh, Killer Mo.
At primary school or high school?
Primary school.
Oh, wow.
I was in grade 7.
Wow, okay. So, Telemann, tell us, at what age did you think, cool, I want to be in this music world, the entertainment world, and how did that journey progress to where we are today?
Well, I kind of stumbled upon this whole music thing. I think at the age of 15, I used to hang out with my friends who were way older than me. They were into music, producing, recording themselves. I used to just hang around with them and just vibe out, you know? And then this one day, one of my friends had a session with a client and they were working on a beat and he couldn't get the bass line right. So I kind of helped. And then that's when my interest started, you know? And then I started making beats around that age. But I started taking it seriously around the age of like 18, 19, somewhere there. Yeah.
And how did that carry on from there?
I think I started releasing music when I was about like 20, somewhere there. I don't know. I could be wrong. But I started like releasing music online, did covers here and there, and then released original music. And then a friend of mine from Amsterdam, Pascal Moray, reached out via Facebook, wanted to remix one of my songs and then release it under his label. And then that's when I started like getting gigs here and there within the industry. Yeah.
And your journey?
My journey started, like I said, in primary school. My mom used to be, she used to be a part of the cultural department at my primary school. So I was always forced to sit through like choir, rock challenge and all these cultural events. But I wasn't really participating, but I liked music. So they are then started asking me to make dance mixtapes for the rock challenge crew because they used to dance and stuff. And I started making those mixtapes and then they got good. Everyone, like, then the whole school started asking me to make them like dance mixtapes so they could dance. And that's when the DJing started and sort of the interest started. And then fast forward to high school, we started hosting house parties because we couldn't get gigs. We're young kids. No one was trying to book under 18 kids to come DJ. So we started hosting our own parties. And from that, it built up to then the clubs when obviously left high school and varsity, started DJing in clubs, started getting residencies in clubs around Joburg, outside of Joburg. And today we're here.
So do you guys always collaborate together?
A sizable amount of the time, okay. I think.
Well, Mo is my DJ.
Okay.
So we met, I think, was it 2017?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I needed a DJ because I started like getting gigs to perform. I didn't have a DJ at the time. And then that's when Mo came into the picture. And then we just became friends. We started working together. Yeah, man, it's been a journey.
And then when you create your original tracks, are you part of that process or?
Sometimes. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So let's dive into your creative brain from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes when you're creating something new and original. Mm. Is it easy every time? What motivates it? What invigorates it? Let's dive into your creative brain.
Well, I think it differs from time to time. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's hard, you know? But it's always a good process because you learn something new as you create, you know. Usually my creative process start with the music first. So I would make the beat and then from there I would start like mumbling words or like melodies and stuff like that. And then those turn into words and then I find the concept and then it keeps building from there.
And you mentioned that sometimes you, Killamo, you collaborate with Telemann. Do you ever collaborate when you're creating by yourself with other people or is it besides Killamo's sole creativity?
Most of the time the ideas start when I'm alone, unless I'm in the studio and everybody's there and they can chip in, you know what I'm saying? But usually I'm in my own space, like in my room most of the time, my headphones on and just like start ideas and then I would share them with my friends once I get to a certain point, you know? Yeah.
And DJing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you DJ to smaller crowds, bigger crowds. Obviously, you put the same amount of energy into that set.
Definitely.
How much preparation do you do for a set? Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's versatile or depending on who the crowd is.
The crowd is, yeah.
So how much preparation time do you put in?
The prep time is, I couldn't put a number on it because it's constant. It's constantly revolving because obviously you're getting a lot of different gigs on a weekly basis. So maybe this week I'm playing at a corporate for the Skolspel team and now I need to transition to preparing an Afrikaans music set and, you know, and then the other time maybe I'm playing for a young crowd. And
yes.
So it's, I would say on a weekly basis, it's nothing less than 17 hours a week. In terms of prep, because maybe on this day I have this gig, so I need to do this sort of prep. And then on this day I have this, or maybe on the Friday I have a 6-hour corporate booking and I'm like, so yeah, it does differ.
So you don't always, so when you perform, you obviously do your DJ sets, you do your performances, you don't always perform together.
Yeah, not always.
Okay. But
when he has his own gigs, he performs by himself.
Yes.
When I have my gigs, I perform with him because he's my DJ.
Okay,
you know?
Cool.
So I would have him and I would have Lusty on the front of house just to make sure that my mic is right, everything is sounding good, yeah.
I make him look cool. That's what he meant to say.
You both look cool. Let's put it out there. So now, obviously, reading a room, DJing, you have to feel the energy of the people.
Definitely.
Is that something that, I know you said you started DJing at primary school, but is that something that you could pick up straight away, or something that you've learned more over time?
I think it's something that I could pick up straight away. I remember my mom telling a story of when they had a gathering at home and everyone was bored. And my aunt used to collect CDs, like a whole lot of CDs. And apparently I just got up and picked up a CD. It just so happened to be, I think it was Kabelo, she said. Yeah, I think it was Kabelo. And put in the CD and I played the right track and literally the room lit up. It went from people just like sitting to like, and then from then onwards, I knew that, okay, cool. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
You've referenced it. I'm going there asking you each. I love me a CD. Mm-hmm. I still budget my CDs every month. For me, it's an energy exchange to say thank you to you guys for all the hard work you do. The journey of, what am I going to choose? The unpacking it, the looking at the pictures, the listening journey from song 1 to song 15 or 20, how many songs there are. I'm not sure if you are aware, but CDs, vinyls and cassettes are making a massive comeback. Last year alone in the UK, 5.9 million vinyls sold, the biggest since 1990.
That is crazy.
Yeah, and CDs are now up again. They're moving up on an upward trajectory again. And it's not the older people, nostalgic people are buying it. It's the younger, the teenagers, the late teens, the early 20s. We've also got this these music digital platforms that people listen to or consume music on. So Telemann, first, what are your observations of the musical landscape where we are today?
I feel good about it. But at the same time, I don't feel so good about it, you know? Because I feel like the music is so accessible to a point where, to some people, it's like I can wake up and do a song and put it out there. And to a consumer, it's like I can just go on this site and find a song, you know? There isn't that I need to wait for this. This is coming, you know? I need to save up for it, you know. It doesn't mean as much as it used to before. But I guess it's just how things are now, you know. We have to move and evolve and stuff like that. So I don't know, man. I'm too minded about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you?
I'm excited that this is the first time I'm hearing this information. So I'm excited to see the comeback. But like you said, I think because everything's so digital now and everyone is there, it would be great to see the comeback and to see that feeling that he's describing comeback of, oh, the album is coming. I need to start saving up. I need to start, you know, I mean, when we were younger, we were saving up to buy CDs and like, okay, when you hit 2 rand, you put it in your shoebox and wait for the next 2 rand and, you know, until then. So I'm excited to see that happen. I would like to see this generation of younger teens experience that feeling because it meant a lot to me with buying my first CD. So I'd like to see how that pans out.
And I actually saw an article, it was about 2-3 weeks ago, whereby they were stated, interestingly enough, in the UK, there's certain products that they use for interest rates to gauge the interest rate. Vinyls are in it, and they said within this year, CDs are going to be back in that because they're gaining so much popularity again. And everyone, I got a new CD player last year, and everyone was like, oh, we're going to buy a CD player. There's no CD players anyway. And because I was living overseas before, and like I said, I've got a bunch of CDs, I want to listen to them. And I went on to take a lot, and I was hoping for one option. And there were hundreds of options. I had to narrow it down, and then narrow it down again, and narrow it down again.
Can imagine.
And what's interesting is that when I listen to a song off a CD, and I listen to the same song off Bluetooth of one of the streaming platforms, the sound quality of a CD compared to the digital is like I'm in a stadium when I'm listening to the CD. It's like, and you listen to the same one on this, and it's like, it feels like stuck, squashed and small, and you have to make sound louder because it's not as clear. Anyway, so what do you enjoy about performing live?
Just like the human contact, you know? I feel like that is so amazing, just looking at the crowd and how they react to your music, how they vibe into it. It's a beautiful feeling. But for me, I think also when the sound is just right, you know what I'm saying? Like the sound system has to be right. Tech in general, you know, because then I'm able to give the best performance and experience to the fans and they're able to give me the energy that I need, you know what I'm saying? So it's an amazing thing. I think during like COVID, it was the worst of time because horrible. Like we couldn't have that human context. We couldn't, you know what I'm saying? So now that everybody is back outside, it's so amazing.
Do you have anything added to add?
Yeah, I think for me, like he said, the energy exchange is crazy. Like there's a frequency that the fans are on that sort of feeds you, and like you, it's almost euphoric. Like you can't explain that feeling. It's like, I don't want this feeling to end. I don't want it to end. When you get off stage, it ends. You're like,
I'm that person that's always right in front, jamming, doing my thing. I take my phone out for one or two songs, one or two pictures, and then I put my phone away.
And then you,
I find the people around me have their cell phones out 70, 60, 80% of the time. They're tweeting, they're posting, they're videoing, they're trying to get the perfect picture, perfect video. I often sometimes see people turn their backs to the stage where you're on, filming themselves, miming you with you in the background. I find that very odd. But you mentioned that energy exchange and that frequency. Do you not find from the observer on the stage seeing what's happening that a bunch of phones takes away from that, or it's just where society is at the moment?
Well, I think it's where society is. I think if somebody is doing a thing, but in relation to what's happening, like they're enjoying the music, they're vibing to the music, they're paying attention to what you're doing on stage, I don't really have a problem with that, you know? Whether it be taking a selfie while I'm performing, but you're still engaged, you're still listening, you know? That is dope. Especially if it's like maybe like a club performance or like a festival, you know? People are trying to turn up and they always turn. Some of them are drunk, some of them, you know? So I wouldn't judge them that much. But like in a setting where it's like kind of intimate, I would like everybody to kind of chill, you know, and take in the music and listen, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree with him. Obviously, it's where society is. But I think also, just to add to what he's saying, the amount of people with their phones out doing that is often outweighed by the amount of people who are just losing their minds and just excited. So you tend to gravitate more to those people anyway because of the energy they're giving you.
It's interesting. And I wonder if the people who have their cell phones out most of the time actually realize that. Because often those are the ones who are like, see me. But then they've, you know, and they don't even connect that you're focusing on other people who are more present in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's next? What's happening now? What's next? Short term, long term, what's happening? Who's first?
Short term, obviously, we just dropped our new single, Sanolami.
Exactly.
It's doing very well. I keep getting notifications on my phone of different playlists and different this and different. So, yeah, I'm sitting right now. I'm like very calm, but inside I want to like.
I'm like this all the time. Exactly. You can tell.
Exactly. Definitely going to be working and releasing on more music. Planning a music video. It's giving me. I want to pull my hair, but we're going to get it done. And just seeing through the song through, seeing what people expect, seeing how people take it in, and then planning going forward in terms of more music, events. I do events as well, so definitely going to be planning a lot of events around the song and around the music and around the movement and the sound. So, yeah.
Why is it the videos allowing you to pull your hair out?
There's just so many logistics. Like, what I'm trying to accomplish...
Okay.
It's like... Because I want to recreate... We sampled a legendary song by Zola, who's a South African Kwaito legend. And I wanted to recreate certain parts of the music video. But, you know, the thing about old music videos is that, like, some of those places where the video was shot don't exist anymore.
Oh, I understand.
And, like, all of that stuff. So, like, now trying to find, like, a replacement of... That would sort of represent that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
How are we going to do it? But we'll get it done. We'll get it done.
I believe in you. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's just to support the single that he just dropped featuring myself, and see like where we can take it. But right now I'm also like working on my EP that is dropping pretty soon. So that is just one thing that I'm excited about at the moment, because I hadn't released a lot of material over the years. So, and also just to, it's a shift, you know, it's a shift musically, like topic wise and stuff that I'm kind of into right now. So I'm really excited to see like my fans, how they're going to take that and how we're going to move forward. Obviously, with after dropping this EP, I'm planning of going out outside of South Africa, obviously, and try to tap in with other musicians from around the world and see how I can contribute as a musician, you know? Yeah.
So you mentioned there's a shift of topic. So what was the previous topic? What's the current topic? And what was the thing that made you think, cool, I want to create the shift?
I think earlier on, it was... The main thing was to try to get in and be noticed and, you know, and be part of this big machine, you know. So that came with a lot of, like, give and takes, you know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't... At a certain point, I felt like I couldn't be fully be myself, you know what I'm saying? And talk about things that I like and just be the person that I am fully, because you have to step out of your comfort zone sometimes and try to please that person and that person. Whereas now I feel like I'm more selfish with what I'm creating, how it sounds, how I look. I decide when to go out and when not to go out, you know, if I like to take that interview or not, that interview, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's more about myself and the things that I like now more than trying to please the next person.
Well, thank you for coming to this interview. So, a question, did you voice those things before or did you not voice them thinking that they wouldn't be heard?
Sometimes you do. Sometimes you do voice them and they're not heard. Sometimes you don't voice them because you're thinking, ah, this is going to be too weird, or you know what I'm saying, or this is going to get in the way of somebody doing their job or whatever, you know. So it's more like putting the next person before you type thing.
So it's about building your confidence and allowing your confidence to say, okay, it's not about stepping on that person. It's not just being myself, allowing my voice to shine, allowing my energy and light to shine, and then empowering them as well.
Exactly.
Okay. I like that. So I love this game. Okay, one of you is going to have a chance to think. So I'm going to go to you first, and you're going to have time to think. The question, the reason I love this game is because it will change every time I ask you. If I ask you this in 2 minutes, 30 seconds, 5 years, 5 hours, will be the answer will be different every time.
Answer.
The reason is because there are millions of them, and I recognize that, and I understand that. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to 5 songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those 5 songs be and by whom?
Okay. Tanai, Hugh Masekela, definitely forever and ever. Many Men by 50 Cent. Whipped by Tellerman. That song changed my life, so.
Two more. This is normally when it starts getting difficult.
Okay, one of the songs is not released yet.
Okay.
But there's a song called Umfonele by Lasty. Definitely there. And the last song. Yo. San Alarm by DJ Killamore and Tellerman.
There we go. Are you up to, now your turn.
Oh, my days. This one is always a hard one because my taste in music changes changes.
Yeah, but that's when I've had to ask you now again, you give me another 5. Exactly. So I'm not saying favorite.
Yeah.
That's why just... First 5 that come to mind.
That comes... Oh, okay, cool. I think the first one would be the original Sanaluami by Zola. It would be Music in the Air by Mom Letambul. It would be...
It's not fair.
Any song by Kabelo, actually. That would be crazy. Some Mikasa.
Wait. Which Mikasa song? You can't say some Mikasa.
Wait, hold on.
You can't say some Mikasa. I think I know what song you're thinking of, but...
I think it would be... The first song they came out with, I think it would be These Streets. Because it's just like, you know...
Over Heavenly Scent?
Heavenly Scent is like... It's better than
La Vida, Chocolat.
It's definitely better than These Streets, but like These Streets is where the whole thing starts, you know. I think the last one would be How Many Times by Anesthesia.
Ooh, this guy's unfair.
This guy's unfair.
This guy's very unfair.
I love this game. Starting with you first. So, as a final message to the listening audience, what would you like to say?
Stay happy, stay blessed. Don't really think about what they say, do you? At the end of the day, it's just you and you. When you're looking in the mirror, when you're in your bed in the middle of the night, it's just you and you. So do what makes you happy all the time.
Yeah, I think it's the similar message, man. Just be yourself. Try to be the best version of yourself each and every day. Try to improve, try to grow. And try to spread love as much as you can, man, to the people around you, to the rest of the world. I think we all need that, man.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.